Well, there's really only one place we can begin today, and that's with the most recent figures on the number of men, women and children who are without a home and who are reliant on emergency accommodation for shelter. You might be aware, on the last Friday of every month, the Department of Housing releases the latest homelessness statistics, and last evening we learned that a total of 16,353 people were accessing emergency accommodation in August, including 5,145 children. That's up nearly 300. It's another increase, another record high. And one of the many organisations around the country working to alleviate homelessness is the Good Shepherd Centre. I've been speaking to its CEO, Noel Sherry. We'll come back to the panel for their reaction shortly, but Noel Sherry began by giving me his reaction to the latest homelessness statistics.
Shocking. It remains to be shocking. However, it's not surprising. At the end of the day, key aspects around housing delivery and other preventative measures continue to struggle to contribute significantly to actually reducing those numbers. The Midlands has seen an overall increase between this time last year of 19 families. It's gone from 33 to 52. Children has increased from 48 to 105. But this is something that we're seeing right across the country. At the very heart of that is families. Single adults, particularly in Dublin, just continue to increase. If you look at the overall number of adults, say, in the Midlands between August last year and August this year, it again has increased from 152 to 201.
And the impact on children, Noel?
Do you know, when you think of our children, they have their toys, they have their pets, they have their friends, and these things are intrinsically important to them. We're seeing children become displaced. They're having to give up their pets. They're having to move potentially long distances away from their communities and schools in order to access B&Bs. They are experiencing stigmatisation. Our staff recently were engaging a family who's in the southeast, whose 9-year-old child was talking in the language of depression and suicidal ideation.
And why?
Child was traumatised because they just spent around 14 months in a B&B room. They were suffering because they seen their mother suffer. They were blaming themselves. They were talking about self-hatred. They were talking about self-loathe, being depressed, wanting to end their life. You can jump in. You can even find them a house, which seems like the solution, and it is, because it does improve things. But in a way, for a 9-year-old child, there's something left in their blueprint, and that's something that they could spend a very, very long time being affected by. Homelessness itself is a trauma.
A general sense of powerlessness, maybe.
Powerlessness, probably mixed with hopelessness. One of the things that you'll commonly hear people talk about is that sense of hopelessness. And that sense of hopelessness is with them daily. Most of us have our time filled with occupation, and sometimes we even enjoy time where we don't have anything to do. When you're homeless as a child, or indeed as an adult, time becomes painful. It only allows you to reflect on that state of hopelessness.
Noel, can I ask you, you know, people's ability to work in a situation where it's a single parent family in emergency accommodation, does it affect people's ability to work?
Oh, of course it does. Particularly if they've been displaced 20, 25 miles from their support structures. Particularly if they don't have a car. So many, many people end up losing their jobs.
In light of that, I suppose, what was your reaction to the comments by Junior Minister Robert Troy during the week, where he wanted to give greater weighting to people who are in work than those who weren't in work as a kind of a labour activation measure to get some of the 48,000 people on job seekers allowance into the workplace, to give employment a greater advantageous position when it came to housing lists?
I found that a little unhelpful. At the moment, the majority of local authorities measure someone's allocation on the basis of housing need and their duration on the housing list. They don't really have any other instruments that they use. So typically, people end up having to spend longer periods of time on the waiting list, waiting to be housed. And it's not uncommon to hear about people waiting 8, 9, 10 years to be actually housed. To introduce criteria such as that is very, very unhelpful.
To go back to your own organisation in the Midlands, what are the options there? You're trying to establish a homelessness hub. You had that shot down by Westmeath County Council. What are the options there? What options are you seeking?
What we're currently doing is, on the one hand, we operate homeless prevention and reactive services known as the Regional Support Service. We are working on establishing another regional family hub, and we are hoping to have that at application stage by early next week, because we remain undeterred. These services are essential. With any rise in the need for B&B accommodation, what we have to ensure is that there's a rise in accommodation services that will also provide people support that will assist them stabilise, identify their needs, access appropriate health, childcare and housing services in order for them to progress through homelessness as quickly as possible, and to ensure that their needs are actually addressed.
And are you getting political support for your work in establishing a homelessness hub?
I think that's very mixed. I think there's still a certain amount of concern about over concentration of social housing or emergency accommodation in areas. Many, many areas have significant shortfalls in terms of access to health services, community services, and there are concerns about bringing in larger numbers of people who are going to impact that further. We have to find solutions for people to stabilise in order to move out of homelessness as quickly as possible and to stay out of homelessness. There is, since the last election, a higher amount of indecision across government departments. We are finding funding applications are being processed very slow, and there seems to be a reluctance to make decisions.
Can you give us an insight maybe into why people would refuse offers of social housing? It's something that Micheál Martin said during the week he found disappointing.
Yeah, the first thing I'd say is some of the numbers we're hearing of people refusing social housing allocations aren't indeed homeless people. There are people who are based in private rented accommodation, and they're probably much more inclined towards choice, closer to where their support networks are, where their children are attending school, and so forth. Many, many people think a family or a person should be able to go anywhere just because they're being offered a house. It's not always as simple as that. If you wish to work, if you wish to raise your family, that needs to be within a certain sort of network where you can avail of support. We want our families to work. We want our families to participate as much as they can in the economy, but also within their own communities. I think sometimes some people do actually kind of make bad choices by not going, but I think it's I think it's too easy to reflect a certain number, link just homeless people to that, because there's many other variances that could be at play. Okay. And each are an individual case.
And that was Noel Sherry, CEO of the Good Shepherd Centre, speaking to me a little earlier. If there were any difficult issues raised for you in the course of that interview, go to rte.ie/helplines for support numbers. There, I should clarify, Micheál Martin didn't describe the figures as disappointing, but he did say whether or not all the people in the homelessness figures should be regarded necessarily as homelessness, when he had figures from Cork City Council that said 26% of people on the list there had been made offers of social housing. I'm going to go to our panel here. Robert Troy, can I first get your reaction to those homelessness figures? They're still going up by nearly 300, over 5,000 children there. And you've heard the human impact that Noel Sherry talked about there. What's your reaction to that?
Obviously, those figures are not where we want them to be as a government. I heard Noel, but I didn't need to hear Noel today. I'm working with families every day of the week in my own constituency to try and help people who are in homeless situations or on verge of homelessness, to get them out of homelessness or to prevent them going into homelessness. The government has taken very specific measures. When we talk about families, most recently, €50 million additional funding was made available to help take families out of homelessness, and that funding is ring-fenced. They have reintroduced the rental accommodation scheme as an attractive scheme to landlords where the full rent would be paid directly by the state and partially recouped by the family, the applicants. That has been reintroduced for people who are facing homelessness or are in homelessness. But the key issue here is, and the only way we are going to bring down the numbers in the homelessness situation and also the number of people on our housing waiting lists is supply. And that's why government has, in the last number of years, introduced the largest amount of money being spent on capital investment and the provision of social and affordable housing for decades. In the last 2 years
alone. You'd appreciate, though, that you know, people who are currently in emergency accommodation and that list growing, that they'll hear the idea of houses being built and supply as not being a short-term solution to the reality they're living in.
I'm very conscious that people listening to me and, you know, the 16,000 social houses that was provided in the last 2 years is of no benefit to the people who needs one now. But it was huge benefit to the 16,000 people that benefit from that. We need to continue to accelerate our rollout of social and affordable housing so that the people who are in a homeless situation can aspire and look forward to getting a house. But as a temporary measure or as a short-term measure, as you said, and what's needed, I referenced the 50 additional million that has been made available by Minister Brown to support families out of homelessness, and also in terms of the reintroduction of the RAS scheme, the rental accommodation scheme, whereby the state will pay the full amount of your monthly rent to access private rental accommodation for people who are on the verge of homelessness or for people who are in homelessness. And that is a very attractive scheme for people, for landlords to take on somebody who's homeless.
Gary Gannon.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, all of us who work in politics can't help but meet people every single week who are facing or in homelessness. It is corrosive to the very spirit of any person. You're talking about people who can't cook for their own children. You're talking about children that may have to play in a bathroom so their little brother or sister can go to sleep. This is a crisis of monumental proportions. Look, I don't claim it to be an easy to fix, but choices have to be made. I listened to that interview with the Taoiseach. I read it. I couldn't believe that the person who leads this country wouldn't simply start by saying this is a horror, rather than point to the fact that people are somehow, in his belief, turning down accommodation. That's not true from any sense of the imagination by which a person on the homeless list is turning down, so therefore he shouldn't be considered homeless. Firstly, I don't understand the figures which he's using. Is it people who are on the list, who may be there 10, 12 years, who may be put outside? But the idea that the Taoiseach pointed to that rather than pointed to the devastation, I mean, I just cannot understand that.
Okay, but you said it's about choices. And for people who are in emergency accommodation now, who need a choice to be made on their behalf to alleviate that situation, what different choices would you be making that would fix things in the immediate term?
I mean, we need to build in social and affordable housing. We'll see how much the government put into the budget for that next week. We need to be empowering voluntary housing organisations to build. We need to be opening up vacant units. We need to be having every single local authority being able to match where their vacancy units are, how quick they're turning them around. All of these require a sense of leadership, direction, emergency. Let's not point to people and say they're to blame because they're turning down, even though I don't believe that to be anyway to the extent the Taoiseach chose to use it. Simon Harris decided to do the same thing last year with Braham and migrants. Let's see this as the emergency is and confront her on that scale, using every asset at their disposal, be that resourcing to build affordable housing, looking at alternative models that may be available, looking at good practice that's happening in the voluntary housing sector, zoning land as affordable, which should have been done long since by now. I don't see the Taoiseach's comments to me didn't suggest today this has been treated as an emergency.
Mairead Farrell, you know, Robert Troy has said build more houses. Gary Gannon says build more houses. Presumably you agree more houses should be built. But the short-term solutions for people in emergency accommodation, are they really there given the situation housing is in at the moment?
No, and I just want to say a few things. I think, unfortunately, because homelessness is at such a peak that we as society are becoming a bit desensitised to it. I think that interview with Noel hit the nail on the head, and it is crucially important that all TDs, all public representatives and everybody who's making decisions in relation to this hears just that. The reality of the situation when Micheál Martin said is divisive, it is insulting, it is offensive to people who are experiencing homelessness, where we don't know even the long-term traumatic impact that this will have on children who are growing up in homelessness. And when he is presiding over this, it is only going one direction. Homelessness is going up. It is not going the other way. If we were having this conversation and we saw fallings in terms of figures month on month, well, then maybe we could talk about, you know, what's happening in a different type of way. What we need to see is an emergency ban on no-fault evictions. That needs to be put in place. That was put in place previously. That needs to be put in place. At this moment in time, Colm, if you came to me in my office and you said that you had a notice to quit, well, I'm sorry, there's very little that can be done in Galway City at this
but
time.
But in challenging Micheál Martin on that, you know, the 26% from Cork City Council, what's the counter-argument there from your point of view? Do you have a better insight into those refusals and whether or not and what they were based on?
Well, obviously I'm in Galway, right? So sure. I don't know the intricacies of the way
but
Cork
in general.
City. But Galway City, people in homelessness actually aren't allowed to refuse housing. So this is kind of becoming a bit of a confused dialogue from people maybe Micheál Martin doesn't fully understand this, but in a lot of councils, you are not able to refuse housing when you're in homeless accommodation. What you instead have, though, is people that are in long-term homeless accommodation. If I were to contact Galway City Council or Galway County Council on your behalf, the first thing they will always say to me is that the first port of call is HAP. The reality of trying to rent in Galway City or Galway County is that there is nothing within the HAP limits. You are not going to find a place. It is literally a landlord's choice at the moment because there's so many people looking to move out of homelessness is nearly impossible. But also, Micheál Martin says that he doesn't want to classify these people as homeless. Well, he already excludes a huge amount of people from homelessness. He excludes all those families that have three generations living in a house, four people living in a sitting room. Like, those people are homeless. To suggest that, you know, they should be counting.
I want to go back to
people.
Robert Troy in this. Robert Troy, I mean, quibbling with the figures of people who are in homelessness accommodation doesn't look like a meaningful way of trying to tackle the reasons why people are in that situation in the first place. Would you accept that?
Well, if a third of the people are refusing housing that is on the homeless list, that is an issue. And, you know, it mightn't be a popular thing to say, but we have to look at the reasons the figures are increasing also. The first port of call
It was 26% for starters.
A quarter. I should have said a quarter. My apologies.
Sure, but like the reasons behind it, before that's put into the public domain, should there be an interrogation of the reasons? How many refusals? Whether or not people were being moved, you know, multiple miles from where their setup was? Whether or not it would require children to be taken out of schools? Whether it would put them outside the reach of their family support network without putting it into the public realm and people left to maybe conclude that it's people's own fault they're in homelessness?
Well, look, from a Westmead perspective, where I know intimately, if you're on a homeless, you're on the Westmead County Council housing list. You are only allocated a house based on where you have put down your order of choice being, and you've three choices: first, second, or third. So you can choose in order of preference when you apply for a local authority house where you want to be based, and the council will only allocate a house on that basis. You're allowed to refuse one. Make one refusal without it affecting your place on the housing list. And that's the system that's there at the moment. And I don't know whether
regardless of where you rank that property in your order of preference.
Regardless of where you rank that property in the order of preference, correct.
So if number three is not at all convenient, but you had to rank it at number three and you refuse that, that'll affect your allocation of housing, will it?
No, you're allowed one refusal and you're allowed to change your order of preference or the designation of where you wish to be considered for housing at any time, and you don't have to take the three order preferences. You can simply say you want to be considered for one location. Can I just make a point, if I may, in relation to Murraid? The first port of call should not be HAP. The government changed the position in relation to this to allow local authorities approve RAS for people who are facing homelessness or in homelessness. The benefit of that is that the council will pay the market value, the market rate for the rent on that property, and they will pay 1 month up front, a month's deposit, and the landlord can be assured that they're getting their monthly rent on a monthly basis. No local authority should be offering HAP where somebody is in homelessness or whether they're facing homelessness. And that was a policy decision, a policy change that was made a number of months ago.
All right, Murraid Farrell, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, I do, because I think what we're doing is getting, first of all, totally off the point of a blame game, putting the blame on people who are in homelessness rather than blaming government. Like, it is a cheek of any government minister or the Taoiseach to try and blame somebody else when they have been in government for how long at this point? And even if you take Fianna Fáil from just the time that they claim that they've been in government rather than when they were supporting Fine Gael, like, we're talking about 6 years here, and they're now blaming people on who are homeless. Only last week, Micheál Martin decided to blame councils. So, like, it's anybody but themselves.
There was an issue raised there, Robert Troy, and I'll come back to Gary Gannon in a second on this, but there was an issue raised by Noel Sherry. He said that this current government seems to be more indecisive than previous governments. It's taking longer to get decisions made. How do you answer that?
I can say since we took over responsibility for housing, 148,500 houses have been built. In the last 3 years alone, 92,000 houses have been built. And a figure I mentioned earlier, 16,000 of those were social and affordable housing. Figures that haven't been matched since the 1970s, right. Early 80s.
I need to come back. That's your answer to the question. I want to ask, bring Gary Gannon in on this.
Yeah, we missed our social and affordable housing targets every single year. But even that point, leave that aside, there is choices here about the language used when these figures inevitably come out. The Taoiseach chose to point to a form of look over there, there's something that's more scarier, which is people turning down accommodation, which isn't a full reflection of the facts. And I'd actually like to get a better understanding of the figures he's using from Cork City Council, because certainly they wouldn't weigh up the same in Dublin. Robert Troy earlier on this week also tried to point to the division by saying that people who are working should get a prioritisation on the housing list. And I mean, that's a choice of language here too, to almost create a boogeyman as if there are people, thousands of people who are not working, who are somehow less deserving. And look, if you even look into the figures of where how many people are in work or unemployment figures in this country, ranges between about 4 and 5%. There was 4.9% in the last estimates. Of that, there is only 1.1% who are long-term unemployed over 12 months. Breaking into those
figures. About 48,000 people.
So, yeah, it's about 30, in terms of long, maybe that's, sorry, but actually go into
For people over 12 months.
Over 12 months. You go into those figures, there are going to be people who are displaced from the workforce, who are probably older, who would need to retrain. It's people with care and responsibilities. It's younger people who would have left school early, and all of a sudden they're to blame. I mean, language and leadership matters here.
I do want to come back to Robert Troy. This was you were saying in a suggestion to Westmeath County Council, Robert Troy, that workers should get an additional benefit by dint of being workers when it came to their prioritisation on the social housing list. I just want to be clear on this. Just you might clarify for me, first of all, what's the length of time on social housing waiting lists in Westmeath County Council at the moment?
It varies depending on whether you're a single applicant or whether you're a family.
How long is the longest person waiting, roughly?
A single applicant would be in the double-digit figures. For large towns like Mullingar and Athlone, much lower for smaller villages.
And if that person is a worker, how many weeks, months, years, hours, days should they have cut off their waiting time because they're in employment?
No, can I be allowed to explain exactly what I meant and be clear, because people are trying to insinuate that I'm trying to be divisive, and which anybody who knows me, I'm not. What I'm merely saying is that we have a situation whereby we have some people, whether we care to admit to it or not, who make a lifestyle choice. And that's people who don't wish to work, who may work in the black economy, and there are people who are working hard, maybe at minimum wage or industrial wage.
How many of them are there?
I can't quantify that right now, but what I was using
so
was
So are you relying on anecdotal evidence of people coming into your clinic telling you about a fella or a wan who lives down the road as the basis for your policy suggestions?
No, at the moment, Westmeath
County...
What are
you basing it on then?
If you could allow me explain, I'd gladly do that for you.
Try to.
At the moment, Westmeath County Council is reviewing their scheme of letting priorities. I was very clear in what I said, that in an instance where there is people who are long-term unemployed versus people who have been working, that there should be additional points allowed for the person who's working.
Before the reason for the long-term unemployment is fully investigated.
I was very clear in saying that there should be exclusions in terms of people with a disability, a long-term disability, people who are full-time carers, single-parent families who don't have access to childcare, senior citizens. But where somebody takes a lifestyle choice and decides that they would rather be on unemployment benefit and work on the black market versus somebody who works hard and pays their taxes, I believe that, and this is my personal opinion,
sure, but
it's not government policy,
I do need
and
to,
I made a submission
I know,
on that basis.
And I do need to return to the specific question I asked you at the beginning. How many years, months, weeks, days, hours are people going to get in credit on the social housing list? How much will their time waiting be shortened by if they're working?
What I made a suggestion was in the context of the review that's ongoing, that this was something that could be explored further. I didn't put in any parameters. I just simply said this is something that could be explored further. And I have to say, since I made that suggestion, the number of calls I've received from all over Ireland has been quite stark.
Yes, well, okay, Robert, you're supposed to be a political leader.
I want to ask you.
Ridiculous and illegal.
Are you still a landlord yourself, Robert Troy?
Is correct, yes.
You are. And how many of your, was it 11 properties are let at the moment?
I let my properties through a letting agency. My understanding, all of them are let. Some of them are let through HAP tenants. Some of them are let with people who are working. There's a diverse number of tenants in my properties. All are declared. I'm registered with the RTB and I pay my taxes annually.
Okay, Gary Gunn.
I just find Robert's intervention here and then the backtracking by saying a Minister of State is somehow writing to a local authority in a personal capacity. What you're actually doing there, without any evidence, empirical or otherwise, is trying to create the scenario by which there are these boogeymans out there taking advantage of the system, when actually a clear breakdown of the figures showed that is not the case. And the figures are released annually, Robert. If you want to empower yourself with information in this regard, you could actually look at them. The people who would be most impacted by the type of policy that you're mentioning would be people who are displaced from the workforce for age. I know you reference the fact that there's people with disabilities that occur, so you'd like to see excluded, but you're also going to see people who are left school early, would have an underdiagnosed learning difficulty perhaps. You're what you're doing, and I don't doubt for a second there's people contacting your office saying you're grey, but because you're feeding into a fear, when what I actually need is a little bit of leadership and people can actually show some sense of evidence, compassion, leadership to try to address the problem that you've been elected and in government to solve.
Somebody has texted in to say, I have to agree with Robert Troy. We want countervailing opinions, so text us on 51551 or WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32 if you want to have your say. If you're in this situation particularly, do get in touch. I have to agree with Robert Troy. A texter says, I was talking to a woman during the week who has recently been allocated a 2-bed new build apartment in Galway. She works one day per week. Meanwhile, I'm paying 1,100 per month in rent of a house share. I can't afford to save for a mortgage. I'm working full time. This, in my eyes, is just wrong. I'm in my early 50s and I have to accept I'll never own my own place. Yet somebody who works one day a week has a council house for life. I'm not blaming people who need council accommodation. The housing shortage should only be blamed on the government. But single people simply have no chance of getting a home of their own, council or private, says Darragh. Mairead Farrell. Hang on a second, Robert Troy, we need to bring in Mairead Farrell.
I would like to answer because I think he's spoken at length, but the whole point of this is that Robert Troy knows exactly what he's doing. He is using divisive politics in order to deflect blame from government. That person that wrote in is absolutely right to be angry. He is angry with government and I can understand why he is angry. Yesterday, I was at Galway Simon community event and it was about the increase in pensioner homelessness. Somebody like that who's in their 50s, who's who is renting, when they hit retirement age, there is a serious, serious issue and concern that they will end up in homelessness for the very first time. Since 2017, the amount of pensioners who are in homelessness has increased sixfold. Mm. This is as a direct result of the lifestyle choice of Robert Troy and his other members of Fianna Fáil, who are presiding over a a housing and homelessness crisis that is getting worse and worse and worse.
So are you taking direct issue with what Robert Troy is saying, that some people are making a choice not to work and as a result other people should be prioritised over and above them on social housing lists? You're taking issue with that?
I'm taking issue with the fact that he's clearly using this as a divisive thing to take blame away from government, so that people, when they hear it, they go, ah, that makes sense. When you're talking about a minuscule amount of people, when in reality, the people on the housing waiting list, there's so many different people for different circumstances. And at the same time, one of the things that I keep raising in the Dáil is the institutional barriers that are placed in front of women who are fleeing domestic violence, and him and his government are doing nothing about it. So can I just give one example of that? If you were in a social house for 15 years, say on a housing waiting list in one county, let's just take Mayo as an example, and you've wanted to flee domestic violence and you came to Galway because that's where your family network are, your 15 years are gone. There is no exceptions. These are policy changes that somebody like Robert Troy and his government, through their lifestyle choice of being in government and presiding over these figures, could make. They refuse to.
I take issue with the fact that it's just an easy analysis to make. You're pointing to a scapegoat which you have no evidence for and say they're to blame rather than look to our own failures. It's easy politics. It does nothing for nobody rather than create division. Even the woman in the texter who's texting about the person in Galway who's got a two-bedroom apartment and works one day a week. Right. There's 160,000 people in this country who are working poor. That for me is a bigger problem.
Robert Troy, on Monday you said you hadn't spoken to James Brown about this. Have you spoken to him since about it? And what was the response, if so?
No, I haven't, because as I said, this is not government policy. It's something I put forward to Westmeath County Council. And can I say again, the government's priority is to increase supply, and everything we've done in the last number of years has pointed to that. And what we want to do is increase supply and bring the overall waiting list down. We want to exit people out of homelessness. We have the largest budget on record in terms of the money that's been invested into provision of social and affordable housing, but we need to do more. I accept that. More needs to be done. As a government, we're spending on average of 7 billion per annum on housing. At a time we need to be spending 20 billion per annum. We need to do more. We need to incentivise private capital into this area, and Minister Brown has taken a number of policy decisions in the last number of months to do just that.
Okay, I want to bring you a text. I know you said you'd got supportive contacts from all over the country, but I want to bring you a WhatsApp message on 0870 32 32 32 from Aoife. Disgraceful comments by Robert Troy shows that Fianna Fáil policy is morphing into Leo Varadkar's, quote, people who get up early in the morning, all trying to scapegoat the poorest in society for a kicking. Micheál Martin's comments also trying to deflect from a complete failure of government policy.
I'm not trying to scapegoat anybody. I'm trying to say we want to incentivise people to work at a time when I'm talking to people across different sectors of the economy.
Would you not accept that what you're saying is there are people who are long-term unemployed, who are long-term unemployed by choice and are making the housing statistics in the country worse, and effectively saying they are taking up more state resources than they should by choice?
No, what I'm saying is people who are long-term unemployed, who have chosen to be long-term unemployed, perhaps working in the black economy, I would like to incentivize them and say, look, you're far better off to work and be supported.
But do you know the scale of that problem?
I don't have the scale of that problem, but I can come back to you on that.
But that's what I mean. If you don't know the scale of the problem, why are you making this particular suggestion?
To repeat again, this was in the this was in the context of a review of the scheme of letting priorities by Westmeath County Council, who are looking at letting priorities to see is there ways in which we can support people and make it fairer for people on the housing waiting list.
All right. Gary Gannon, there must be constituents of yours who approach you as well, similar to the texters who come to Robert Troy as well, who feel that they're on a treadmill working and there are other people who are getting things easier than they are. politicians all over the country hear it.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, people are hurting. And one of the easy ways you can actually absolve yourself is blame, is by pointing to somebody else and say, well, they're the fault for your hurt. What good political leadership is about actually looking at the figures, getting the evidence and actually empowering people with information that, you know what, there are systematic failures here. So what we need to do is build affordable housing. What we need to do is invest in our public services. The idea that there are 1.1% of our workforce are in long-term unemployment, and Robert, without any evidence at all, is referring to the black economy and all sorts of gibberish on the phone as a way of, like, not even making policy, because he's not even brave enough to make policy about it, just spouting gibberish on the national radios and getting attention for it. A good political leadership would actually be informing people of what actually is the reality.
Right. Is it worth looking into it at all, Mairead Farrell, to establish exactly what the evidentiary basis of that would be?
I think the Department of Housing would be far better off focusing their efforts on putting an emergency ban on no-fault evictions to literally stop people entering homelessness, putting money where their mouth is in terms of the tenant in situ scheme, and allowing it. We had huge amounts of people across Galway who were blocked out of the tenant in situ scheme, which was the way of getting people out of homelessness as well, and actually looking at meeting their targets in terms of social and affordable housing. But Cullum, you make a point here, right? People do say that. People say that kind of thing all the time. And it's because the reality is that so many people are really, really, really struggling to get by, right? And the reason people are really, really struggling to get by is because the likes of Robert Troy and the decisions that they make. And instead of just owning up to it and saying, right, we've got a few things wrong here, let's try and change it, let's blame other people.
OK, a lot of that will be covered in the budget. That's what we're going to be looking at next.
Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.